So how do you back up your frame in such a passionate way? How do you maintain your frame in the face of a challenge? Now, one of the first things you have to realize is the sooner someone challenges your frame, you're going to be put under an immense amount of internal pressure to somehow conform. And it's when people give in to this internal pressure that they actually lose the whole battle for the frame. So the first thing you've got to do is recognize the pressure if and when it occurs, and then to know how to counter it, and more importantly, how to present your signals to the outside world in such a way that it doesn't affect things. Now, this is why your signals are so important. You see, when one of the ways that we stay sane within a society is we're constantly sending out these little pings to test whether or not things are actually still as we think they are. It's called a reality test, and it happens unconsciously. We're constantly kind of pinging constantly of other people to check that our beliefs and our perception of the world are still accurate. Now, so long as those pings come back in a way that responds a yes, you'll be okay. But when enough pings come back saying, no, actually, you're incorrect, you begin to doubt. You begin to have some kind of soul-searching as to whether or not you need to change your opinion. If this happens under pressure as well, as you do when you get social pressure, chances are for most people, they'll abandon their old frame of reference for the new one in order to be able to fit in with society. Now, let me give you an example of this in action. It's a very powerful example. A friend of mine used to be in the Special Forces, and as one of the things they do when they go through selection is they have to go through a hunter-seeker sort of exercise where they get basically hunted by the rest of the army and they have to try and evade. Now, invariably what happens is they get dropped off in some middle of nowhere with not even a pocket knife, with just a shirt on their back and some trousers, and that's about it. And they have to survive for a week to 10 days on their own. Meanwhile, of course, they're being hunted, so they have no food, they get no sleep, they're constantly moved, they're tired. So this is already putting them under a tremendous amount of pressure. Eventually they get caught. Everyone is caught eventually. And they get taken off to some secret interrogation center with a bag over their head. Now, this is where it gets interesting. When they get to the center, they place each one of these interrogation victims inside a chamber. In this room, it looks like a normal prison cell, except that all the furniture has been nailed to the ceiling. The chairs have been nailed to the ceiling. The table's been nailed to the ceiling. They've even put a cup of water, which has been nailed onto the table, which is on the ceiling. From the floor, there's a wire that comes up with a light bulb to make it look like that is the ceiling. So, of course, after 20 minutes, half an hour, an hour, people's understanding of reality is so warped because they're tired anyway that they literally begin to try and climb the walls in order to sit on a chair that's nailed to the ceiling. This is how much people's grasp on reality can be influenced given the right conditions. And remember, these people have incredibly strong willpower, otherwise they wouldn't have made it that far. So one of the secrets to maintaining your frame is to project these signals, to subcommunicate these signals, that your frame is the only frame, that's the only way the world can be real. And if you maintain that like a rock against the sea, eventually the tide will pull away and the only thing that will be left over is the rock that you created. So how do we do this in practice? When someone challenges your frame, the simplest thing to do is to really ignore it. Now, I don't mean ignore it in the sense that you kind of pause briefly, look at it, and then carry on talking. I mean ignore it in the sense that nothing ever even happened. It didn't even exist in the world. I want to give you an example of what I mean by this. Recently, I was out with some friends who are very high-ranking martial artists. We were in a hotel lobby having a little chat. And as it happens, there were some children there playing, and they're being very noisy and running around the place. So one of my friends turns to them, and in a very polite way, just asks them to calm down a little bit. Now, the parents really weren't happy about this. And suddenly we have two huge men standing in front of us trying to stare down at us, and it's very obvious what they want. They're trying to pick a fight. Now, this is where our reaction was very unusual, in that we gave no reaction at all. Now, whilst internally we of course felt the pressure, the social pressure to somehow respond to this unspoken challenge that was being presented to us, what we did instead was we'd carried on talking. Our conversation was nice and light, our tone was very smooth, as though nothing had happened. In fact, we pretended that we couldn't even see these two people standing there. There's no quick furtive glances at them. It's as though they didn't even exist. And it was actually very interesting to notice their reaction. At first, these two guys looked at us in a very impressive and a very sort of angry kind of way. And within a few minutes, they started losing their confidence. In fact, so much so that very soon, they actually walked away as though nothing had happened. Now, here's the important thing. Why did that happen? Well, think about it. The reason they lost their nerve is because something happened that told them the reality they're projecting, the frame they're trying to set on the interaction, doesn't exist. It's not valid. And because they're not used to this idea of reality testing or someone else sending off different signals to their reality test, they suddenly went into a reality in which that fight could not happen. In their minds, they probably thought, what do these people know? What can they do? Why are they not even vaguely impressed by what we're doing? And of course, that's how they lost their nerve. But the interesting thing is, the reason they could walk away with their head still held high is because we never acknowledged the challenge, which means they never had a challenge to withdraw. So they could actually withdraw while saving face, and a potentially dangerous situation was totally diffused. Now, if you go to the old school type of martial arts studios, a lot of them still practice a way of training this ability to be calm and totally impassive, totally non-reactive in the face of danger or some kind of challenge. The way they do this is as follows. You have all the students lined up, and the instructor will come up one by one, and he'll shout at them, he'll hurl abuse at them, he'll stand face to face with them, he'll even move suddenly as though he's going to hit someone. And all these things are designed to put someone under pressure and get them to unconsciously respond with some kind of reaction. It could be a nervous twitch. It could be to break eye contact. It could be to change their breathing, shift their weight. Any reaction, in some level, subcommunicates that the challenge has been perceived and acknowledged. And thereby, you've actually empowered that action. To be able to be totally impassive means to be there and not even see the person, not even take that action as seriously. It just doesn't exist. Imagine a little 5-year-old child trying to stare you out as you're talking to a friend. Now, whilst you're talking to this friend, of course, you have an important discussion. So you don't even notice, you don't even acknowledge that 5-year-old child and his petty behavior. That is what ignoring a challenge to your frame should feel like. You're totally ignoring it like it doesn't even exist. Now, if for whatever reason they persist in their challenge, the next thing you can do is just give them a look, a very non-verbal look like, what are you doing? You're behaving in a really odd way. This is really not normal. So you do these things not by saying them out loud, because that has very little power in it. You sub-communicate that by the way you look, by the facial expression you have, by the way you pause and look perplexed. Think back to the example of the Ferrari salesman that suddenly gets a challenge about how many miles to the gallon this car can do. He's going to look at him perplexed like, it's an odd question. Why would anyone ask that question? It's a weird question. And the very weirdness of it, that subcommunication of that, makes people collapse their reality because it puts them under social pressure to conform, to be normal, to be normally adjusted human beings. So again, it adds a bit more impetus to your reality in which questions like the one that's being raised or challenges like the ones that have been given just simply aren't expected. They're just simply not normal. Finally, if the person continues to persist with the challenge, you can assume that this challenge isn't the casual challenge to your frame, it's actually a genuine challenge. In other words, there's a genuine objection in there that they need to have handled. In which case, just go ahead and handle it. Just reframe it. Or if it's important enough, deframe it. You have those skills as well. But the important thing you should realize is, before you go anywhere near those tools, the easiest way to deal with objections is just to maintain your frame in such a strong way that people just assume that's the natural way of the world.